Hi there, and welcome to Healing at Last, the podcast. Healing at Last is the roadmap to uncovering what happened inside you as a result of the pain of your past. How to find it, how to heal it, and how to move beyond it. So let's get started.
Okay, so let's do a tiny recap. Yeah, and let's do a tiny recap, and I'll share the screen so that. Can everybody see that? Yeah. Now we popped some more stuff on this that we haven't yet gone through. So, but we will be through this tonight and tomorrow. So we spent an awful lot of time talking about therapeutic exchange and having some client examples. We spent some time here and we spent a lot of time there because that seems to be where the most of our work is, if we're honest. Most of our work, if we're working with lower level of process clients, seems to be in this therapeutic exchange. Hopefully by now you have some frame of reference or framework for an assessment so that you understand whether or not you should stay here and whether or not that you can move into root cause, quite simply move into root cause. If you can't, then what we've suggested is that we work towards the body. Work towards creating safety in the body. Now, the reason that we create safety in the body is so that we get tolerance of the symptoms. So the client has tolerance of the symptoms. Once they have tolerance of the symptoms, they tend to have more tolerance in the therapeutic exchange. Everybody with me? So what we're fundamentally doing here is we're trying to get the client out of bobbing around here, which is for the most part the client's experience and our experience as therapists. Everybody happy enough for that? Everybody okay with that? We talked a great deal about the types of thoughts that the mind produces in relation to the core threats or key threats. Threats or thoughts like projection thoughts and protection thoughts. And we talked about kind of not moving so swiftly to try and reframe or tick those away. Understanding their source, understanding why they're there, and not really playing in that arena. So hopefully that was very helpful. I know that if you only take that away from this process, that will be the most helpful thing to your client. And with some clients, and some practitioners on here who've used this model. So I'm hoping that they put their hand up in a wee while and tell you about the experience that they've had with moving away from reframes, from moving away from working in thought distortions, from moving away and how validated they felt whenever they weren't in those places. So hopefully that has really kicked in. They only started talking about moving towards the body. And how moving towards the body is a titration process, that we just aren't jumping into the body. What we were started to talk about was very slowly and carefully titrating towards the sensations in the body with a view to bringing psychosomatic unity. Is everybody happy enough for that? With a view to creating more levels of introspection, with a view to creating more levels of metacognition. Now, what we know about metacognition, what we know about introspection, what we know about all of those amazing skills that we as human beings all have naturally, but have obviously never been taught or never been co-regulated well enough to have them. What we know about those skills are that they help us regulate ourselves. And then what we're talking about is other regulatory tools here. So vagal toning tools, you know, mindful tools, regulation tools of nervous system activation, where we know we can return our client to a state, a parasympathetic state. Everybody happy enough? The client is in freeze, we bring them back to those places of ventral vagal process. So we talked a wee bit about that. I didn't want to get into the weeds about all of that stuff because it's well documented and it's out there in abundance. And you can learn that till the cows come home. But this is the journey into the body. Now, interestingly, we are still not in the core issue. Even though we're in the body, even though we're closer to the body, we're still not in the core issue. We're still not in the core threat. Now, we've moved away from story. We've moved away from exchange. We've moved away from that place. We've created more tolerance, maybe. But I want to go one step further tonight. Okay, the work that I'm about to share with you, some of these will be familiar with, some of these won't. But the work that I'm about to share with you has been my life's work. We are in the process of having our outcomes gathered by the university here and having these outcomes published in order to strengthen this model, all right? So what I'm about to share with you, you'll have not heard before. And it's an additional process for regulation, okay? Now, you're going to be scratching your heads, all right? And you're going to be going, what is she talking about? And that's all right, okay? So if you have any questions about it, put it in the chat. I'm really happy to work with you on it. So what we're going to look at particularly is we're going to look at maps and patterns. Now, maps and patterns are a step-by-step system, okay, that de-escalates the build of symptoms caused by nervous system activation. Let me say it again, all right, because it was well quick. Maps and patterns, or patterns and maps, all right, Wally, are a step-by-step system that de-escalates the build of symptoms that is caused by nervous system activation, whether we are in dorsal shutdown or whether we are in full panic. This maps and patterns is a system that will de-escalate the physical symptoms in the client's body. Is everybody happy enough for that? Yeah. So that's what this is. This process, had I not understood it, had I not come across it, I don't think I would have survived what I was experiencing. I don't think I would have survived the activation of the core threats that were in me. I don't think I would not have had the tolerance, the window of tolerance, the work underneath those levels of activation. And no matter what regulatory skills that I had, or no matter what psychoeducation that I had about what was happening to me, the experience itself and the totality of the experience of full nervous system activation, including dorsal shutdown, would have been far, far, far too much. Even though I could regulate myself back to a parasympathetic nervous, to a parasympathetic nervous state, it just would have been far too much. And I would have never in a million years worked at the material underneath to excavate root cause. I wouldn't have been able to. I wouldn't have had the capacity, because I would have been petrified of the physiology, the symptoms, the totality of the experience that comes with these levels of activation. How does that feel, Lise? Does that make sense? So whilst we have beautiful regulatory tools, and they are not to be thrown out, they're not to be discredited, they're to be held in the same regard that we've had them before. Whilst we have beautiful regulatory tools, this was the game changer, and this is the game changer for most people. Okay, so let's start looking at what it is. There's two pieces to the puzzle. There is the pattern and then there is the map. So firstly, we're going to look at the pattern. Is everybody all right? Anybody, any questions on that? Is everybody okay? Yeah? Yeah? Brilliant. Thank you, Karen. I can see Karen and Jill and Brita and Monica tonight. So you're my four-person audience, right? All I can see is you guys, so you're going to keep me right. Anything goes wrong, any screens go wrong, all of you have just popped up too, so hello. Hello to you. Okay, so let's start with patterns. Okay, I spoke a tiny bit about this last night. I talked about the uniqueness of the process, the uniqueness of the experience, the uniqueness of the activation experience. And when we talk about, I want to be very, very, very clear, all right? When we talk about nervous system activation, we're talking about a totality of an experience. What does that mean? I want you to think about what it feels like. Anybody here had panic attacks before? Or dorsal shutdown? Yeah, okay. So Sandra, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know when I say the totality of an experience, we're not talking about a fast heart. We're not talking about one tiny experience. We're talking about the full gamut of the entire experience, felt physiologically, felt somatically, felt physically, and the intricacies of in the way that that is felt and experienced so individually because of the way that we experience ourselves as human beings. So that's what I'm talking about. So there's a unique set of physiological symptoms, and that is as individual as ourselves that we experience when our nervous system is activated. And this totality of the experience is as unique as we are. And one person's experience of a panic attack, whilst there will be remnants of science throughout it, will not be another person's experience. And this is where we begin tonight. This is why psychoeducation doesn't fit all the time, because of the uniqueness of the experience. Okay, so we can have all the science we want, but unless we are willing, and this is the key point, okay, this is the key point, unless we are willing to capture the client's unique pattern, be in their individualized experience. Yeah? Be in their individualized experience. Then psychoeducation will never be curative. It may be in part helpful, but never be curative. Is that fair? Did you find that, Sandra? See, Sandra's saying, I find it hard to explain to people what a panic attack is like. Yes, and other people trying to tell you, and there is no, the communication's missing because it's so unique. Yeah, absolutely. There's science that runs through it. We understand the science. We're not going to regurgitate the science here. But yeah, the experience is very different. Brilliant, and that's fantastic. So we have a unique experience. Now, for anybody that has previous dorsal shutdown or any high levels of nervous system activation that causes them distress, please do not play this game, all right? Because I'm going to ask you a few questions. I want you to trust yourself. If it doesn't feel right to you, if your body is saying, I don't think I'll play this tonight, if you've been activated during the day in any way, if there's something going on in life, you know, if there's been any somatic crossovers, anything that has happened today, just don't play the game. Just stay in theory of it. And if you feel that you've got capacity for it, then answer some of these questions, okay? Is that all right? So I'm going to let you trust you, all right? So I'm going to trust that you trust you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to keep yourself safe. This is too important, okay? So if I were to ask you, what's your first, when you get activated, when the threat system sounds itself in your body, when your neuroception picks up a threat, when your body is threatened, what's its first symptom? Put it in the chat. What is your first symptom? Okay. Stick it in the chat for me. Brilliant. You feel hot, Sharon. Brilliant. Stomach. Yes, Sandra. Yes. Feel hot. The heat comes, butterflies, a knot in the stomach, fear. Okay, John, try to be more specific about that feeling. All right, so fear, where does that feel in the body? So fear is a term. So where would that feel in the body? Sick, a shaky throat, brilliant, Teresa. Well, you'll enjoy what I'm about to show you now. Tingly cheeks, love it. racing heart. Look at the individualization of those first symptoms. Scan up and down the chat. You see it? A red chest and a neck, tight chest, racing heart. My legs go. You see it all? Look at that. Yeah. So we start with basic psychoeducation. We're not capturing the uniqueness of this. Do you know where I get it? Brilliant, John. Thanks. And that, and I know you're closer to your body. So John said fear. And I said, tell me what's happening inside. And now he's inside. And he's staying inside all over. Now we're in the body. We're not in the cognitive understanding that it is fear. We're in the body. It's an all-encompassing feeling. You see that shift from that question? I feel fear. I feel, but tell me where it is in your body. Tell me how it starts. Tell me where it's activated. Already we're in the heart of the experience. You see that? Shallow breathing, brilliant, Helen. I feel mine in my shins. Like a burning shin feeling is the first feeling. Now, here's a wee trick, okay? Do you see if your clients have no psychosomatic unity? What are they going to say to you when you ask them this question? They're going to say, I don't know. They're going to say, it's just a panic attack. I just end up over there. I just end up not knowing what I'm thinking about. I just end up in dark shot freeze. I don't know how I get there. How many clients have you heard say that? And the reason that they say that is because of all of the things that we've talked about over the last 2 days. Because they have no unity. Because they have no metacognition. Not no, but low. They have no understanding of their body. They aren't attached to their body symptoms, or they aren't aware of their body symptoms. So they're not able to tell you. That's why most clients come in with anxiety, panic, or shutdown and are overwhelmed, because they have no understanding of how this builds, where it comes from, where it started, how it was created. If you got a client who's saying, I don't know, it just comes from nowhere, then there's a hell of a lot of work to do. There's a hell of a lot of slowing the process down. Is that fair enough? Does that make sense? Okay, so that is another wee tiny trick, a wee tip that you can watch for in your client. People come in at these high levels of activation and have no idea how they start it. Then we're really going back to those basic body titration pieces of body work. Okay, so if I was to ask you, from that feeling, where is your next feeling? Where does the next symptom go to? Would you be able to tell me? So from your tummy, as an example, Sandra, the next feeling is where? Heart rate begins to get irregular, breathlessness going to my heart. Now we're starting to see, you know, tight throat, wonderful. Legs, yeah, shaky voice. Do you see the people's pattern or difference? Some people start out with shaky voice, some people second feeling the shaky voice. Do you see the way it's different in the pattern, the way it starts? Okay. Sweaty, lovely, hot, brilliant, fantastic. The heat, fantastic, brilliant. Okay. So now we're understanding what's happening here from a science point of view. The heat denotes the body is getting ready for action. The sweat denotes that that there's cortisol, that there's epinephrine. We know the science here, right? As I said, we know the science. I'm assuming you know the science. I just want you to see the actual response in the person and the pattern, because the pattern and the map is more important than the science. The science must fit the pattern and the map. We can't put science onto someone where there's no frame of reference for it. And this way, we are individualizing the experience and bringing the science to the client in a wee minute. I'll show you how we're doing that. But we're getting really, really, really intricate. You can tell I'm person-centered trained, can't you? You can tell I spent 4 years knee deep in person centered psychotherapy and love Carl Rogers. And this is why, because now we're in the intricacies of the client's experience. Okay, I want us to stop there. I want us to do something that regulates that symptoms. How are we feeling? Everybody okay? Everybody regulated well enough to hear, to take in information? Everybody still in good exchange levels? Good. Okay, really important. Okay. Let's just breathe there, all right? Any wee exercises that you would normally do? Any grounding techniques? I love the vagal toning stuff, the eye stuff or the ear stuff that would bring you in the regulation. So these are all wee tiny, you know them, okay? But I just want you to be regulated for a minute. So I'm just going to come away from these for just 1 minute. And I'm just going to ask everybody just to do their own wee thing. You can turn your cameras off. You can turn your and come back to their cells. All right, everybody okay now? Not quite the minute, but everybody back in the room. Brilliant. Orienting and breath work. The thing that works for me, again, all very individual, is those dorsal vagal toning eye exercises and ear exercises. Switch on my parasympathetic like that. So just for me, I just get under that place really quickly. Everybody has their own thing. Okay, so. We're understanding that there is a unique build in symptoms. Everybody happy enough. And that the ear exercises are linked to in the summit, Maggie, for you. So we understand that there's a unique new pattern of symptoms. Did you see the way I stopped you at 2? 1, 2, right? And stopped and regulated at 2. So did you see the way that I did that week? So I asked you what your first symptom was, what your second symptom was, and then regulated so that we didn't put you in a place where you were moving under the highest symptoms that you have and then put into a place where you were overwhelmed. Everybody happy enough for that tiny exercise? What we know from our research is that those symptoms aren't just 2 symptoms. They can be 5, 6, 7 symptoms. And they can be a build of symptoms. And they rise in intensity. Is everybody happy enough for that? So for anybody here that has ever experienced, you know, the height of nervous system activation, if anybody has ever experienced that, what has been the worst symptom that you've experienced? So for me, it was that dorsal shutdown, that coming away from just completely shutting down after a severe series of panic. So I would have went through that fight or flight response and then under that dorsal as a way of bringing myself back under regulation. And that experience from panic and the shutdown, where it felt like I was losing, about to lose my mind, that was the worst experience. Eyes blurred completely, brilliant, boom, fantastic. Okay, so we have 1 or 2 builds in experience, and then we have the top experience, and there will be more symptoms that will build to that top experience. And there we have your clients and nervous system activation pattern. Everybody okay? Did I explain that well enough? Would you like to see that in a graphic? Yes, Karen, are you a visual learner? Okay, I'll show it to you in a graphic. Brilliant. Running. Yes, Fidelma, your worst one was running. Yeah, you actually, Fidelma, actually ran. We talk about fight or flight. Flight was, yeah, rigid, brilliant, Sandra. Couldn't get away. Fantastic. Tears, crying. Yeah. The expression. Fidelma, for working with you, right, on these maps and patterns, and I know you're a massive advocate of this, right, having experienced it, but you were one of my only clients that displayed the flight response. And the experience of the flight response was traumatic in and of itself. Was that fair, Fidelma? The experience of the flight, the totality of that experience and the flight response was actually traumatic in and of itself. So when we're talking about the totality of the physical symptoms, we're talking about not only the physical symptoms, but the things that we'll do within the symptoms, rigidity, flight, but all of these things that become the totality of the experience. Are we starting to understand why the clients are afraid and why the clients won't have them? It's not just a fast beating heart. It's not just, you know, it's not just a sicky stomach. It's not just a tight throat. Brilliant, Lorna. The walls closing in on top of me. And these conversations are incredibly important. And their nuances are vital if we are to help clients out of them. The fear of the fear, the intolerance of the physical symptoms is real. And it's very, very difficult for clients. Absolutely very difficult. Okay, so now that we're understanding, everybody clear about maps, I promised that I would show you in a graphic. I'm going to bring it up now, right? No. Yes, Brita, the loss of control. Absolutely. Okay. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to bring it up in a graphic, but I want to explain something else before I bring the graphic up so that you can see it all together, right? One more thing. If that's the pattern, okay, then what is the map? If that's the pattern of how the anxiety builds, then what is the map? Well, maps are the unique ways. I want you to stay close to this, right? Maps are the unique way that our minds interact with the symptoms. Maps are the unique ways in which our minds interact with the symptoms. And this is why this program is very unique. Because I fundamentally, from my own understanding and from all the research and from all of the clients and all the clinical hours and all of the outcomes, fundamentally believe and have come to understand that it is neither the mind's fault or the body's fault. It is the interplay between the two. And we have spent years and years and years and years and years, centuries, talking about the mind, the mind, the mind. We've spent the last part of 10 years talking about the body. And I'm going to try and move the narrative on a wee bit to talk about both the mind and the body and the interplay between the two. Because it's the interplay between the two, especially here, that does a lot of the damage. So let me say this again, and then I'm going to show it to you, all right? Maps are the unique way our mind interacts with our symptoms. And how that interaction helps build a set of symptoms, builds the pattern of symptoms in the client. Okay? Did everybody get that? The pattern is the physiology. It is the physical symptoms. It is the body experience. The map is the way that the mind interacts with those physical symptoms. The mind does not sit and allow these symptoms to pass. It does not separate itself from the body. when these symptoms arise, no, we cannot say it. when these symptoms arise in the body, the mind will give meaning to them. How many of your clients have given meaning to their physiology, have meaning to their symptoms? Have you heard clients say, I'm going to die. My heart's going to bust. My throat's going to close. Have you heard those symptoms? Have you heard those meanings being verbalized in session? I'm going to lose my mind. This must mean I'm mad. This is never going to end. So the mind gives meaning to the uniqueness of the physical symptoms. Okay, now this is where it gets a tiny bit complicated, but stay with me, right? The meaning is normally connected to the core threat, but the client can't see it. We'll pause there, right? The meanings that are made are normally connected to the core threat. If the client is afraid of vulnerability, the meanings that will be made will be connected to vulnerability in some way. If the core threat is, if the root cause is nothingness, then the meanings will be made will be ways in which this nothingness can be true. It's a very intricate interplay. Does that make sense? So now we have these, and this is the last piece, and then I'll promise I'll show it these, right? Now we have these physical symptoms. Can everybody see that in their mind's eye? And the uniqueness of those physical symptoms for each and every individual. Now we have the uniqueness of the interpretation of those symptoms inside that client's frame of reference. And I'll say this and I'll show you. And what happens there is those meanings build on each other to create more symptoms. And before you know it, the client is wham in the middle of a full-out panic. And if they don't have metacognition, they don't have introspection, then they got there and they haven't got a Scooby-Doo how they ended up in that place. Not one clue. And because we're not working intricately enough at this stuff, neither do we. And throwing science at it stops nothing. Here's why throwing science at it stops nothing. You might get lucky. You might throw a bit of science that has particular meaning to that client. Does that make sense? You might throw a bit of science on there that has particular meaning to that client and you got lucky. It's kind of like, you know, the affirmations. You might get lucky with a good affirmation that might shift a wee core wound in you, but it's just a wee potluck. Right? It's just something that's really working at a somatic level inside you, but it's potluck. It's why some people say affirmations changed my life and why some people say they're nothing for me. Because it's not intricate. If we haven't been intricate enough at looking at that pattern, then okay. So, Bruna, I'm going to try and read that, right? They are all false on their own story. So try to build on top of each other to concrete the fear for the client. Yes. So I'll show it to you now, right? Probably I've been teasing you with showing it to you. So I'm going to show it to you now. Karen says, thank God I've been waiting for it for the last 15 minutes. What do we see? No, where did it go? Oh, there it is. Sorry, just give me 2 seconds. Oh, you see that? What are you looking at?
No, it's not on the screen, Shauna.
Okay, 2 seconds, 2 minutes. I've got it now, I think. Yeah.
Perfect.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, Megan. Okay. Who mentioned a tight throat earlier? Somebody mentioned a tight throat. Let's see. So on the left-hand side I'm looking at, might be right-hand, you don't know how you're seeing it. We've got the physical symptoms. We've got the pattern. Let's just work on one side. We've got the tight throat. We've got the heart. Then the next feeling is tingling. Then the next feeling is the hijack. And then the next feeling is panic. The next experience is panic, full out panic. Let's watch how it builds itself. Okay. The client experiences tight throat. And the meaning that they give to that tight throat is, I'm not going to be able to speak. I'm not going to be able to speak. What do you think that meaning would do to the body? So the client is activated, it's low level activation, they get it in the throat. The meaning that they give to that tight throat is very specific. I'm not going to be able to speak. What will that I can't speak do to the client? If you know it, say it. Come on. For all of you that know it, Fidelma McNamee. What'll it do? What will that those words I can't speak do to that client? Go ahead.
Move them to the next level of physical symptom.
Brilliant. Mm. You create more fear in the body.
Yeah.
And then the heart will start going. Because yeah. There's some threat in not speaking, isn't there?
Yeah.
We're starting to see now that the client has a can't not speak. They have to be able to speak for themselves. Thank you for that.
No problem.
So with the same premise, the heart starts to go. Clients meaning as they will see me, they will see my nerves, they will see my incapability, they see that I can't, they're going to see my heart beating out of my chest. How many times have you heard that? Yeah. Now, let us suppose that we start to talk to the client from a psychoeducation point of view about a tight throat. Let's suppose that if the meaning is that this client, I can't speak, and we start to talk to them about why they feel their throat restricted from a physiological, scientific point of view, what will that do to that client? Diddly squat, nothing. They'll nod at you, they'll be pleasant, they'll be nice, they'll say, okay, I understand. But if they don't understand why a tight throat is important to them, they can do nothing about that psychoeducation. Let's move to the next symptom, heart. The meaning that that client has on that heart is that people will see her vulnerability. People will see his vulnerability. People will see that he doesn't know his stuff. You start to give psychoeducation around why your heart is pumping oxygen and blood quickly around the body, and that's all that's happening. What does that mean to that client? Absolutely nothing. They just understand what their heart's doing. Now, should that meaning be, I'm going to have a heart attack, and you gave psychoeducation around the heart then, that might be enough to alleviate that meaning. Does that make sense? But in this case, it's absolutely not enough to alleviate the meaning. If that client feels threatened because they think that people will see their heart beating fast and that they will appear vulnerable, then the next physical feeling for that client is tingling hands and feet. It's their unique pattern because now there's more fear in the system. Now they're getting closer to the possibility of their core threat. And there's more fear in the system. There's more fear in the system. There's more symptoms in the system. Does that make sense? And each meaning is building more fear. Each meaning is building the fear in the system that's creating, putting the system on fire. Now this client can't get away. They can't remedy. They can't soothe what is, they're now really close to a core threat. Yeah. And they go on to hijack. So they go on to full amygdala hijack. They can't speak, they can't talk, they can't hear, they can't listen, they can't do anything. Yeah. The meaning of hijack for that client is they will know I'm stupid. I can't talk, I can't speak. Then they're in panic. And the meaning is it's all over. They have been outed. They have been seen as stupid. They have been seen as incapable. They have been seen, and they're going to lose everything. Do you see why I can't speak is so important? Do you see why the meaning attached to the tight throat is so vital and fear-ridden? Do you see how the symptoms build on each other? Do you see how they interact? Do you see how the interplay is that creates it? But let's go back to the originating experience that may have been at the heart of the fear of being stupid, at the fear of being seen as vulnerable. Now, I'm showing you a wee bit of root cause here, all right? There's an originating experience in childhood that didn't have an anxiety map or pattern, where they were pulled out of a chair in primary school and made stand at the front of the class and were absolutely overwhelmed with emotion that they shut down in that moment. Because look at their pattern is panic, their pattern is amygdala hijack, their pattern is... So they were traumatized in a classroom, and while they were being traumatized, everyone laughed at them. While they couldn't speak, while they were in panic. And so there's an originating experience that that client is trying to protect themselves from. That originating experience didn't have that map and pattern, because that child is too young to have that level of cognition. They have that level of meaning. But there was an originating experience that has become a core threat or a key threat. That key threat is in the system. The system is scanning for it. And the symptoms are now a part of what could bring that key threat. Was that too fast? Did everybody get that? Will we go through it again? So what I'm showing you here is I'm showing you a unique mechanism that happens in every single human being, as well as the unique mechanism of shock trauma that creates the first original nervous system activation overwhelm. That original piece doesn't have these maps and patterns on it. That original piece, we don't have the capacity as children for this stuff. We just have a situation that's out of our control. We can't do anything about that. We're powerless to that. We have no way of getting out of that. All of the stuff that happens in nervous system activation in our youth, even in our adult selves, we can have traumas in which we have absolute no control over. Accidents, you know, difficult marriages, difficult bosses that creates these overwhelms. But it's what we do with those in the years and months after that. We build these unique sets of meanings. Now, what does that mean? It means for your client, if there is any, absolutely any inclination of a tight throat, that client's neuroception is turned on. Now the body's the threat. If that client got a sore throat, anybody ever, we've all got a wee bit of something going on in the house. It was happening. I have a house full of boys. And there's a wee bit of something going on illness-wise, sniffly noses. You know that in a house full of children. You know, you always get something. say this client was on the verge of a throat infection. On the verge of a throat infection. What might that throat infection feel like? Let me know. What might that throat infection feel like? The beginning of, you all know what a throat infection feels like. You all can feel it, can't you? Tight, it's the start of panic, Ella. It's a tight throat, isn't it? Yes, it's this tight throat. It's the same physical symptom as that first symptom. What will the mind do? Yeah, the mind will pick it up as anxiety. The mind will pick it up as the beginning of panic and panic at this tight throat. That's called somatic crossovers, when the mind is confused about the physical symptoms that aren't anything to do with nervous system activation. And it can trigger awful. And that's why some clients say, I don't know, I come out of nowhere. I didn't know, I wasn't even anxious, and then I was anxious. Because there's these multiple signals happening within the client's frame of reference. Yeah, Brita, panic attack, a few minutes. But some people loop in and out of them, which is very difficult. If you've got a fear of the symptoms, she can have a panic attack, come under regulation and loop back on it, which is wild difficult. Okay, so that's what maps and patterns looks like. So let's talk about what we need to do. What we need to do is work on the individualized meanings. We need to work here and work with a client at understanding these meanings and helping them move them away from the symptoms. We have to find a natural break where it feels easy enough for the client to let that meaning go, to see the meaning in a new light. And that one there, the heart, they will see mine errors. That's an easy enough break, isn't it? It's the kind of the same thing if the client was saying, I'm going to have a heart attack because my heart's beating so fast. It's easy enough to get in there, isn't it? And work with the client on that meaning to help them understand it, to help them understand it in a different way. So say, for example, the client got a tight throat, says, I can't speak, got the heart, and then said, they can't see my nerves, I'm safe. What happens to the rest of the pattern? Can they regulate back? Can they regulate easier from that place? They can't see my nerves. I'm okay. Can they begin to regulate from removing those meanings, from playing with those meanings? Can you see how that it breaks the pattern? Yes, Ella. Yeah, it begins to break the pattern. Yeah. But Elma, do you mind?
Donna, not at all.
What was breaking the pattern like for you?
I just think it's absolutely life-changing. It's an amazing process. I just can't advocate for it enough.
So for you, you had come to me after trying to manage it in other ways, in CBT ways. Is that fair?
Yes. Well, I mean, I came with having complete panic and having absolutely not a Scooby-Doo where it was coming from. And I think actually on the first meeting with you was when we done the anxiety map. And that was the first day of my life at that point that I was able to go, oh my God. I remember walking out of your office and the feeling of freedom was unbelievable because I seen it. Yeah. I seen it in that session. Yeah. I had loads of more work to do after that, but you know,
yeah.
the anxiety in itself was, oh my God, the relief was amazing, Shauna.
And that was just from understanding the meaning that you'd given the
particular questions. Yeah. Up to that point, I hadn't a clue. Mm-hmm. What was happening within my body, and the amount of running that I was doing was just, you know, exhaustive process.
You were saying running, you were like literally running.
I was physically running. I ran when I went into panic, I actually physically ran from the early experience that you're speaking about, you know, my root cause.
Yeah.
So breaking the pattern is just, that's why I couldn't advocate enough for it.
Yeah. So it's a really, you know, what Fidel was saying is she came from not having a clue, not one clue what, about why this was happening. And then to break it down like that and get in control of it.
Yeah.
Gave her room.
Yeah.
There. And then as Fidelma beautifully says, because she, and I think this is really important, breaking the pattern is one thing. The other thing is the root cause that lies beneath it. Now that took a lot longer. This stuff is easy, guys. See, when you're working, this stuff is a walk in the park. Would you say the same, Max? Maps and patterns is a walk in the park. It looks complicated, but its root cause is the shoveler.
The thing I think, Shauna, that's good to point out is the power that you feel from that butt.
Yes.
Is what gives you then the freedom to move on, to get to the, you know, that gives you an amazing sense of self again. Where you take control, you know.
I have that in my notes, but I'm delighted that the client that has used the process has just articulated that. But I had that like literally on my notes. The first thing it does is gives back sovereignty and agency.
Yeah.
That is beyond any other regulatory tool. That is beyond beyond just, you know, your five senses, beyond grounding, beyond that. Is that fair enough?
Brilliant, Shauna. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody any questions about it? Do you see the importance of it? And do you see that alongside your regulatory tools? Because we're not saying this is all rubbish, you may have to throw all of that out. There's too much amazing work done by amazing people. But we're saying, look, we have a gamut of tools available to us and that can really make a difference. So when a client starts to break, that's why that word break is in there. All that they're getting is maybe one or two symptoms. So they're getting the warning signals. And as Fidelma is saying, now all of the rest of this experience is stopping. And that there is a capacity that builds up in the body. So Rita's asking, were you less afraid, Fidelma? And she says, she knew there was a solution. It felt amazing. So you're basically, it's more than a window of tolerance. You're stopping the physical build of the symptoms, which gives the client confidence, which gives the client sovereignty and agency, maybe for the first time ever. What it also does, it takes away the fear of the fear. It takes away the fear of the fear, creates tolerance. Now, I want to show you something. Where's my name at? Okay. Absolutely, Sharon. We don't know what we don't know. Can you imagine how quick that happens? And me, if you don't slow that entire process down, you can't be understanding of it. Do you see when I'm trying to download something here, sorry. Do you see whenever I understood this in me and I began to stop my panic attacks? Yeah, I began to kind of get under the, I saw this within myself. So I saw this, I saw the meanings that I had made. I saw the connection to the physical symptoms. I saw the build. I saw how it would build so closely. I saw the somatic crossovers. Anytime I have low blood sugars. So anytime I'd have any low blood sugars, my mind would connect low blood sugars to panic attacks. and it all got intertwined. And so being able to pull all of that apart was such an incredibly important part of the process. So any of your clients have low blood sugars and get confused with have somatic crossovers with anxiety, while common. Jealousy, you nodding away there, aye? It's very, very common. Okay, so what we have here and what we've just done is we have, through the low iron, heart palpitations, brilliant. Yeah, gets confused, Pat. Absolutely. Low iron and creates heart palpitations, and that gets confused with some of the symptoms. Low blood sugars creates that wooziness. And that creates these crossovers with the symptoms. But if you don't understand your symptoms, you haven't a hell and chance of separating that stuff out. And what happens in therapeutic process is that we're so busy trying to get the root cause that we don't realize that the amount of work, proprietary work, which is actually more than just proprietary work, it's actually the scaffolding that takes you straight to root cause. It's the stairs, it's the steps. And as you heard Fidelma saying, you know, the clients are in drag then, they walk you willingly. They're like, right, where are we going now? I've got the tolerance, I've got the capacity, I've got the metacognition. I don't have any tolerance of my symptoms, part A. This is cleaned off the client's experience. They're deeper in therapeutic exchange from all of that body work. They have control and agency. And now they're starting to say, well, you know what? Because the one thing that a map and pattern does is it exposes the root cause ever so gently. It helps the client see where the root cause was. And then that gentle opening process alongside all the other stuff literally walks the client and the root cause. Now, you might be there for a while, which is fine. And you might have some clients who say, listen, this was my biggest problem. I'm really happy here. If I get triggered a wee bit, I'm good. Yeah. I have seen some clients, mostly therapists, who've got so good at regulatory tools, have got so good at separation, have got so good at demystifying the process and psychoeducation that root cause still remains, but it doesn't activate them in the ways that it was, and they're quite happy not to work with. And then when they come, when they're ready and they ask me to work on root cause, it's a walk in the park because we're just down in root cause because they've done all that regulatory stuff. So some clients, like Fidelma beautifully said, like, show me the way. Like, I'm not leaving here until this is cool shebang and shaboodle is done, until we've been in root cause. And she's one hell of a fighter, and she fought her way there. And by God, did she make sure that I was beside her to help her. Isn't that fair, Fidelma? Like, she's training.
That's completely fair.
I wasn't going anywhere without this getting done. But that wasn't about me. That was about her. That was about her willingness and her capacity and her tolerance and everything that she'd done in that work, and her saying, like, look, let's go. Some clients aren't like that. Like, Fidelma's training to be a therapist now. But some clients aren't like that. Some clients would be really happy to be able to just, because such is the experience in the body, that they're really happy to create tolerance and walk away. They may come back to you. Not, this isn't right or wrong. It just is. And that is completely and utterly up to the client. But here's what we know. If we don't work on root cause, the nervous system will still be watching and waiting for root cause. It mightn't be too afraid of it. It mightn't be afraid of the symptoms that create it, but it'll still be activated. It'll still have that low level activation and neuroception sitting in the background watching. And that's all right. Look, if you can bear that and get on my life, that's all right. But for a lot of our clients, they'll want to go to root cause. So a lot of the work is done here, here, and here. And then the long term kind of childhood stuff is done down right here in root cause. How did that release? You see, when I showed you this wee diamond at the beginning of these sessions, you're probably thinking, what the hell? And what the hell does all of that mean? And now we're starting to see. Now, tomorrow, yeah, I want to show you the correlation between the thoughts that appear in therapeutic exchange and recalls. I want to show you the expression of these wounds in the mind. Let me say that again, right? The expression, the wisdom of these wounds, these core threats, key threats, coming through in the mind, in the language, in the thoughts in the mind. When we see those as wisdom, when we see those thoughts as wisdom, then we don't try to change them. We try to use them to our advantage. We don't try and firefight them, because they are literally intertwined in these core and key threats that keep speaking through the body. Okay, Shauna, how long do you normally take to get a client to that point? I know each client's unique. Yeah. However, after the history take, do you allow a set period of time, number of sessions? It's a really interesting conversation, Sharon, because what we find with this model is you can normally set a particular set of time framework with maps and patterns, because it's very kind of functional piece of work. Maps and patterns and all the body work are very practical pieces of work that you can get through in X amount of time. And would you find that, Mags, when we were doing the training, I was showing you at the end how many weeks that we were doing in terms of the treatment plan. So there's a treatment plan. If you come to the training, there's a treatment plan that sits alongside this, and you work through X amount of weeks. But what I would say is you can normally work that out, especially if you're not going to spend 6 months in therapeutic exchange exhausting yourself and the client. You can move quite quickly. So I set therapeutic goals for maps and patterns, and then the client will, which creates tolerance. And then, like Fidelma said, the client will ask if they want to go further. That will be a recontract, because you're going to go on to a different ball game down in recalls. You're going to do different work. So initially it will be maps and patterns work, body led work, titration work, all that work. And you can contract quite well for that. And then the recalls is a much kind of longer process. And then there's a process at the other end of that, a becoming process that I'm sure you get in yourself. When all of this work is done, the client normally reaches a process of, I can't believe I loved that way. I can't believe I loved in that systems. I can't believe I loved. And there's this kind of becoming work that's disruptive. And, you know, what now, where now? All of that. Well, yeah, post-traumatic growth. So all of that work. And that's, again, another contracted piece. And I would do an awful lot of that work with therapists, because they're at that stage, then they're redefining their businesses, they're redefining how they want to work. You know, like Fidelma's in that place. Fidelma has started an organization called Jack's House, and is training to be a therapist, and is hoping to help people, hoping to help parents of children with autism. So that has all come out of her therapy. Fidelma, I hope you don't mind me saying that.
No, I'm delighted, Shauna. Thank you very much.
You're my wee guinea pig tonight.
No, not at all.
So you're so good for allowing that, because it's quite vulnerable to share your story, isn't it? So thank you, Fidelma, for helping add context to this. So how does that feel to you? Does it give you some bite? Does it give you some, you know, somewhere to hang your coat? And not be kind of circling around and kind of places, hoping that you're getting there, but maybe not getting there, and moving between these two places. Does it help that? Because that's my intention. Okay, brilliant. So tomorrow night we move on to recalls, key threats and core threats. Once you understand that, then you'll start to see the therapeutic exchange in a new light. Because when the client comes in, you'll hear it so differently because you'll be hearing recalls the whole time. Okay. Now, just before we leave, we have 5 spots in our training, which starts next week. Okay. We've only 5 spots because all the spaces are filled. We've also June for the training of this, the full skills program. And I just wanted to say that Leona will probably send you a wee link. He's going to have a look around the program, see if it suits, see if it's a fit, see if you'd like to work with. Between now and about until the end of the summit, which is probably what day is the day, Saturday, there's 40% off that course. So if it fits, if it suits, have a wee look at it, see if you'd like to join us. Reach out to anybody that's here, Breda, anybody that's here, Mags, Wally, they've all done the program, so that you're not just listening to my say, so that you're hearing from people who've taken the program or people who have been trained on the program, and get some feedback if you want to. But we 5 spots for this month's training, and then we've more spots for June. So maybe June might be a better fit. But if you wanted to join the training ASAP after this summit, then there's only 5 spots. That's not a sales ruse. We keep the numbers low. We keep them just down under 20. We have 15 people signed up for this course that's starting next week. So Leona will send you out the wee link. No, emotional mastery. This isn't this one. Monica, did you not do emotional mastery? Aye. This is the full anxiety program. So this is the anxiety skills program. It's a 16-week program. I'm going to break it down tomorrow night better. But if for anybody that wants to jump onto those 5 extra spots, check your email. There'll be a link in your email and you can go through all of the stuff that's on it. But I'll take you everybody through it tomorrow night anyway. So don't worry, right? But if you wanted one of those 5 spots, you might have to act quicker than tomorrow night. And the email will go out. So Pat, there's a spot for you. I know that. I'll talk to you about that. So that all said, have a lovely evening, and I will see you tomorrow for core threats, key threats, and spotting them in the client's exchange. And this whole diamond model will light up like a big star, even though it's not a star, it's a diamond. But it'll light up, and you will, even if you don't do the training, I can promise you, this will make a difference to your therapeutic practice. Happy enough? Okay,